take your Bible tonight, and I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter number 27. Proverbs chapter 27. While you're turning, let me give you the title of the lesson, The Importance of a Budget. The Importance of a Budget. Now, what I teach tonight will be very, very much so down to earth. I want to recommend this. If you're a young person, you might say, oh, boy, what does this have to do with me? I cannot think of a better time than in your youth to decide to live right financially. Most people that are a little older, that were not taught the kind of things we're teaching now, are a little frustrated about their finances because they maybe not rebelliously, but they just didn't know how to handle certain things. Young people, if you didn't remember anything that your pastor tells you tonight, if you'd remember the word budget and put that into practice when you're older, you won't regret it. Proverbs chapter number 27, again, the title, The Importance of a Budget. If you would, stand with me. I'm going to read to us, starting at verse number 23, and I think we'll read all the way through the end of the chapter. Proverbs, chapter number 27, starting with verse number 23. It says, "Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds, for riches are not forever. And doth the crown endure to every generation? The hay appeareth, and the tender grass showeth itself, and herbs of the mountain are gathered. The lambs are for the clothing, and the goats are the price of the field. And thou shalt have goats milk enough for thy food, for the food of thy household, and for the maintenance of thy maidens." Look again at verse 23. It says, "Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds." Again, let's pray. Father, bless us tonight. The practicality of the sermon, Lord, I hope that we will understand that the Bible's not just a book to be admired. It's not just a history book. It's a life-changing book. It's a book to be lived. So tonight, help us to learn some practical things that will help us with our lives, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me make a statement. I want you to understand, when the Bible refers to knowing the state of your flocks, I know some of you were not here last week when I taught, but I talked about the word increase in the Bible. And we learned that everything that has to do with what we would call money, it's not always cash, it's not always coins. Increase, there are times in the Bible where people didn't trade with cash. They used their herds or they used their crops. And here, when God tells us in the book of Proverbs, when He says, "Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks," what He's saying is, you ought to know the condition of your finances. You say He's talking about their flocks. That's correct. I don't think in all generations they didn't use $1 bills and $5 bills and checkbooks and checking accounts. They had a farm. They had a ranch. They had herds, and they needed to count what they had, so they understood how much, if you will, they had in the bank. They didn't keep theirs in the bank, they kept it in the barn. They went to the barn to check out their increase, if you will. The lesson is the importance of a budget. Now, what is a budget? Well, it's a plan of financial operation based on your income, or a budget's a sum of money allocated for a particular purpose or purposes. A budget is an estimate of income and outgo for a set period of time with designated categories. A budget is the process of creating an organized plan for spending your money. Budgeting is the act of deciding in advance how, when, and where your income will be spent. Or maybe the simplest way of saying it, budget is simply balancing your expenses with your income. Now, I want to go back to the scripture that I read earlier. Flocks and herds, that was considered increase. It was used like money in the Bible. It was used to determine someone's wealth or their financial state. Somebody may have five sheep, and they would go to someone that grew corn, and the sheep herder would say, "I'm going to give you a couple of my sheep, and I need you to give me some of your corn," and they would exchange, and that was like an exchange of money. Now, the Bible said of those farmers, you should be diligent. Now, the word diligent means you work at it. You apply yourself. But you should be diligent to know the state of your flocks. In other words, you may have to work at it to count what's coming in, and you may have to work at organizing what's going out, but you ought to know what's coming in, and you ought to know what's going out. You should be diligent to know your financial condition. You say, "I don't have to be diligent. I'm broke." It was easy to figure it out, preacher. I think we should be like the Bible was recommending to this farmer. Be diligent to know the state of your finances. Know what you are doing and what you're going to do financially. You need to know your income. You need to know your outgo. And here's the key. You need to make sure that your outgo it does not exceed your income. Now, I say that over and over again. That is the key to good finances. You can't spend more than you have earned. If you do, you have a problem. Now, let me say to every adult here, I could sit down with your four-year-old and I could explain that concept and they could grasp it. You can't eat five apples if you only have four apples. And a child would say, "Who can't get that?" Most of American adults can't get that. How much does it take for you to live on? Our church functions off of a budget. Let me give you one little piece of the budget puzzle. Brother Ellswick runs our youth department. There is an account that is set up for the youth department. And each week, the youth department is given an amount of money that is available to them. Matter of fact, there are 52 weeks in a year. And on week number one, they get their first 1/52nd of the budgeted money. And then week number two, they get the second 1/52nd. And that's how the budget functions. If Brother Ellswick needed $100 to spend on an activity, he would check his account in the budget. He would see if there were $100 available. And if there was, he could then pull it out and use it for that activity. But wait a minute. If there was not $100, but only $80, then he did not get the whole $100. He would only have available to him the $80. You say, "Boy, that seems to work out just fine. He can't spend what is not there." But he may spend what is there. Now, we do that with the youth department and the music department and King's Kids and Flyers Club. And we do that with the custodial needs and the salaries and the paying of the electric bill and the water bill. We function on a budget. You say, "I like that, Pastor. That's organized. That will keep our church a good testimony." I like that for you too. And if you live like that, that would keep your good testimony. That is functioning by a budget. Now, maybe the most important thing I'll say, I'm going to say it and leave it, but I believe this. I believe if you would run your finances on a budget concept, here's what you do. You let your budget become your financial dictator. You see, a dictator makes you do what you're supposed to do. Our church's budget dictates how our church spends money. Everybody here need somebody to dictate your finances. Somebody to tell you what to do. And you say, why do you feel that way? Because you won't tell yourself. And that's why you have financial struggles. So you say, well, what about this budget thing? Who draws it up? You do. You say, when? When you're sober. When you're thinking right, you sit down, you draw up a budget, and then you say to the budget, from this point on, you're my boss. You tell me what to do. You're my dictator. I will obey you. It's like living by principle. I don't make my decisions based on emotion. People that are messed up all the time go around making emotional decisions. You should make decisions on the basis of right and wrong, not on how you feel, not on what the weather's like, not on the circumstances under which you find yourself. You make a decision because it is right. You say, well, who decides right and wrong? God does. God does. Now, everybody kind of chooses who will dictate them. You can dictate yourself, you and your flesh, or you could let God dictate you. You could let the Spirit of God dictate you. But this thing of a budget, what happens is you draw it up and your budget then tells you how you are to spend your money. If you let that budget dictate your life, it will give you a rhythm, it will give you a predictability, and it will give you the planned outcome. The average person lets let financial messes just happen to them. But what you need is a plan. And I call the plan a budget. Now, you say, I don't need a budget. I make enough money, it really doesn't matter. Boy, I wish I did. I'm glad you do. But I would tell you this. Most people that make a lot of money can get in bigger messes financially than people that make a little money. I watch people that make little money that can live by budget, and they've got this income-outgo thing down, that they live a more solid financial testimony than some people that have a lot of money that think, I don't have to pay attention to it. Well, you stress yourself financially because you don't think you have to pay attention to it, but you're not running it. It's messing you up is what's happening. Now, I'm going to get started. I'll make some statements tonight that some of you are going to be a little uneasy with, but that won't be anything new. Now, let me say this. Number one, let your budget be your boss and make your financial decisions for you. Let your budget become your boss and let it make your financial decisions for you. You don't control a budget. A budget controls you. Your budget makes your financial decisions for you. You say, I feel like I want steak. And your budget says hot dogs. So you obey your budget. And that is control. And that's the problem with most finances. They're not controlled. So, my first statement is, let your budget be your boss and let it make your financial decisions for you. Number two, I think everybody needs to choose some system of controlling your finances. If you say, well, I don't like the idea of this budget thing, okay, you better pick some system that helps you to control your finances. Money spending must be controlled. You can't, I wouldn't go through life just hoping you're going to pay the bills and hoping you're going to make it. Get a plan. You need a plan to control your finances. You need a plan that is a successful plan. Get your finances organized. And I may be able to give a little more attention to this in another lesson, but a lot of times when people come to me and say, Pastor, I'd like you to help me to kind of straighten out some financial things I've got going on, first thing I tell them is, well, first thing you need to do is get it all organized. You know, those bills come in and you've gotten an envelope for the same bill, about 10 of them. You even stopped opening them because you say, I know what's in there and I know what they want. And what I tell people, I say, so let's get all those bills out. Let's sort through them. Let's get rid of the duplicates. Let's figure out, let's boil this thing down so we know where we stand. But a part of successful finances is organization. So everybody needs to choose some system of controlling your finances so that you have a plan for success. And number three, God seems to teach the use of percentages. God seems to teach the use of percentages. Let me read to you from Malachi chapter 3, verse 8, 9, and 10. The Bible says this, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the window of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." God here says that we are to tithe. I think you know what that means. It's the giving of 10% of your finances to the Lord. Well, that means this. If God is recommending, God is saying something to you and me about our finances, and when he tells us how to spend a portion of it, notice he uses a percentage. So you understand that if God said you are to start off by giving a tenth, that means there is 90% left. So my natural tendency then would be to believe that God thinks in percentages. Does that make sense to you? He's thinking in percentages. So when I think about a budget, in other words, an organized way of allocating my income and its outgo, I tend to lean toward God's philosophy or God's approach, which seems to be done by percentages. Because he said the first thing you do is take 10% and then you give that to the Lord. So then what's that mean? I have 90% left, and that means I'm going to allocate the other 90% to cover my bills. All right? Number four, when you set your budget up based on a percentage, you'll not have to rewrite your budget if your income fluctuates. I said, if you set your budget up on a percentage, then you will not have to rewrite your budget when your income fluctuates. That's because you've used a percentage. So if I say I'm giving 10% to the Lord, did you know it does not matter if I made $1,000 or I made $10, my percentage always stays the same. My goal then is if I set this budget up, let's say I want to allocate 25% of my income toward debt retirement in regard to a mortgage. Well, when income increases or decreases a little bit, you have a percentage that is allocated toward paying that bill. So if you don't use percentages, then your numbers always have to be adjusted. If I use a percentage, I'm always putting 25% aside for my house payment. I'm always putting 10% aside for my insurance payments. So percentages seems to be the way that God thinks. And if I set up a budget based on percentages, If my income increases or decreases, I don't have to change my budget every time that happens because I'm functioning off of a percentage. And I said this earlier. If you don't like the percentage style budget, then use another. But budgets are very important because budget says there's a certain amount coming in and a certain amount must go out, and I've got to get that organized. And remember, the simplest thing in the world is this. You cannot spend more than you make. And if you remember that, your budgeting gets much easier. Let's go on, number five. I think the Bible teaches that everybody's budget should begin with your first 10% of your gross being a tithe. God actually says that of the first fruits, we're to give 10%. In other words, the first 10, when our finances come in, we allocate our funds that we'll give away. And that's what the Bible teaches. That's not Jeff Owens's philosophy. That's what the Bible teaches. Then, if I can say this next, That means we go to work then on the 90% that is left. And in a way, you then let that 90%, if you want to, it becomes 100% of what you have to spend. So remember, I made $1,000. I gave the Lord His 10%. I've got $900 left. Now, I'm going to divide that $900 into the allocations necessary for me to pay my bills. I'm going to give you a suggested budget. Some of you need to get the CD. You need to go online and listen to this. But I'm going to give you just a suggested budget. And for some of you, this could be very close for you. But I'll give you something. And when I counsel young married couples, sometimes I'll talk to them about right away getting some sort of a budget set up to function off of financially. Okay? So listen to this. 10% for my tithe, 15% for food, 25% for housing, and I'm going to explain something to you. I've counseled thousands of people. I've counseled churches all around the world. I never recommend that people spend more than 25% of their income on housing. I don't recommend that a church spend more than 25% of their income on debt retirement for a building. It's just a healthy number. And you say, I disagree. That's fine. You can do whatever you want with the thousands of people you've helped financially. But I'm just telling you, I know that works. I know it works. So I said 10% for the tithe, 15% for food, 25% for housing, 10% for utilities, insurance and savings at 5%, 15% for automobile, miscellaneous, others, taxes, 20%, that gives you 100%. Now, you say mine would have to be a little different than that. It's okay. Then make it a little different than that. But I would recommend that you figure out how much is coming in and how it must go out so that the coming in and the going out are honest, on time, and not destroying your reputation as a Christian. Okay. Now, I'm going to say something even simpler. To establish your own budget, this is what I do. Take your annual salary and divide it by 52. And that will tell you how much you make a week. So I take my annual salary, I divide it by 52. Now I know how much money I make in a week. Then what do? I take my annual bills, divide them by 52. I can figure out how much money has to go out a week. We wonder if the amount going out is higher than the amount coming in. You got a problem, don't you? So what do? You lower your standard of living. You should have got better grades. You didn't think you needed to learn. You didn't think you needed to work hard. Matter of fact, you were hoping Bernie Sanders would be the next president so we could share the wealth. That statement's going to get me in trouble. But if you've got more going out than you have coming in, something has to give. So you either have to increase the income or decrease the outgo. And immediately, the easiest thing is to decrease the outgo by lowering your standard of living. So, again, you can figure out how much money you have to work with. You just take your annual income, you divide it by 52. That tells you how much money you are bringing in a week. You can figure out, hey, you can take all your electric bills from last year, add them all together, divide them by 52. It pretty well tells you how much money per week you're spending on electricity. You say, what am I going to do if the budget doesn't allocate? You may not be able to air condition your house to 60 degrees. Now, obviously, in some of this, there's some speculation that takes place as you're setting it up, but it works. At the church, what do? We look at how much it cost us last year to function in each category. And then we figure out how much money came in. And based on how much came in last year and how much went out, we set up an amount of money to pay every one of those bills. And then what we do is we don't spend everything that came in last year. We're careful. You say, why? So I can get up and throw a fit in church, and if you get mad and say, I'm leaving and taking the tithe, I can still pay my bills. It's just one of the things we do. So, the budget, remember, it becomes your dictator. Now, you got to do a little organizing at first. You got to figure out what's coming in and what needs to go out. But once you have that, if you set up based on a percentage, you don't have to change it all the time. Now, obviously, if you had a big job change or something, you may have to adjust that percentage. But percentages are easy to adjust. You just go from 10 to 12%. Then you take 2% from someplace else. So, let me go on. Now, I'm going to give you some opinions, but I think the opinions are good opinions. Number next, you should not set your budget up on projected income. You should not set your budget up on projected income. You say, well, my boss told me I was going to get a raise. I would not calculate that speculated raise into your budget. Wait until you have that money in your hand. Then you could fix your budget. I would let extra money be that exactly. You're better off that way. You say, but I know it's coming. Just let it be a bonus then. Because more than one time, I thought the bonus was coming too, and it didn't. So, I recommend you not set a budget up on projected income. Then, I'll recommend something else. You should probably not set your budget up based on overtimes, on overtime pay. And you say, why? Because you may not always get overtime. The safest thing to do is to set up a budget on your routine number of hours that you work in a week. I would say for most, that's 40 hours. But if you say, I'm only given 30 hours and that's the routine amount, then if I were you, I would set your budget up so you're functioning off of that 30 hours. That way you say, well, I'm going to get some overtime. Yes, but if you don't get overtime, you want to be able to continue to pay your bills on time and you know you can function off of your routine 30 hours a week. I'm going to give you a little review, as I often do. Number one, let your budget be your boss and make decisions for you. Number two, everyone needs to choose some system of controlling your finances. I'm suggesting a budget. Number three, God seems to teach the use of a percentage type of a financial approach or budget. Number four, when you set your budget up based on percentages, you'll never have to rewrite your budget when your income fluctuates, goes up or down, because your percentage will accommodate that. Number five, everybody's budget should begin with the first 10% of the growth income as the tithe to the Lord. Number six, when that previous statement it was made, that would mean that you would have 90% of your income then left to work on after your tithe. I would just say, okay, I gave my first 10. Now I'm going to set my budget up off of the 90% that left, but I'm actually going to use it like it was 100% of what's left over. Number seven, I gave you a suggested budget. I said the tithe 10%, food 15%, housing 25%, utilities 10%, insurance and savings 5%, automobile 15%, miscellaneous, including others and some taxes at 20%. That gives you 100% total. Number eight, to establish your own budget, take your annual salary and divide it by 52. That will give you your weekly income. Then, number nine, take the annual amount that you must pay for any given bill and you divide it by 52 and it'll give you your weekly need. In other words, I'm not only trying to figure out what I make per week, I need to figure out how much I must spend per week in each category. Number 10. Things like utility bills and things, it may be a little bit of speculation as you set up the budget, but it's doable. Number 11. You should not set up your budget on a projected income. Number 12. You should not set up your budget on overtime pays, but your routine number of hours for which you're paid in a week. Number 13, married people should be cautious setting up their budget necessitating both their incomes. Now, this is just an opinion. You can do what you want with it. But you need to be very careful becoming dependent on both incomes. And I would say this, especially young married couples. You say, why? If you're dependent on both incomes, and then you have a baby, and if mama goes home, now you've got a problem. Can you make your house payment? I grew up in a different generation. And I just want you to know, I think you just need to be very careful making your budget dependent on two incomes. Some of you looking at me strange, but I said it. I want to say it. And I just feel like it's a thing that in my generation, we are very careful of that. I hope you'll understand. My wife's income has never supported my family. Ever. It's all bonus. Okay, we're going to move on. And by the way, you say, well, it's easy for you. You go ahead and get in the ministry about 35, 40 years and see how easy it is. You know, you say, well, Pastor, I want you to live by faith. Yeah, and you can bite you a big old chunk of faith off and chew it tomorrow and see how you do. But, okay, I'm going to move on. Number 14, your budget will keep you safe. Your budget will keep you safe. You see, your budget will help you to say no when someone puts pressure on you to spend. You know, if I have a budget and my budget says no, and you say, but can't you? I have to say, I can't. I can't. I don't have it because my budget says so. By the way, my budget won't only tell you no, my budget tells me no. My budget tells me no. And the biggest problem is people will not tell themselves no. That's why they let their budget become their dictator. Let me move on. Number 15, I wrote this. Remember, a budget's like a map. If you want to have success in your finances, you must follow the road signs. Each different part of your budget is a part of the direction for your money. And I think what I fear about trying to teach people about a budget like this in a public forum is you think it's too complicated. Well, you think that's complicated. You just wait till you try to straighten out all the messes and you're trying to figure out how to buy a house, but your credit rating is so low because you've got it massacred because you don't pay your bills on time and you don't know what to do and you file bankruptcy and then you carry that for a dozen or 18 years. So it's far easier to pay the price up front and get yourself organized and allocate your income into given categories so that you know where it's going to be spent than cleaning up the mess. Plus, the value of your testimony is very important. I thank God when I came to this church, it had a very strong financial reputation. Thank God for that. All churches can't say that. All churches can't say that, which means we didn't spend in years gone by more than we brought in. And that's how it's supposed to be. Then I'm going to make another couple statements and we'll be done. Some of you are probably saying, well, Brother Owens, it's impossible to follow a budget if you have the financial dilemma that I have. I'm already in the red real bad. I've got a mess real bad. How do you follow a budget when you're already in a mess? Okay, let me give you a couple suggestions. First of all, if you're in deep debt and you say it, just this, the idea of a budget would almost be a waste of time because I'm already messed up. My outgo already exceeds my income and I'm falling behind. All right. Then here's what you do. You make a plan to get your finances under control so that you can eventually follow a budget. Actually, you can set up a budget for getting out of debt. Now, I'm going to remind you something. It's very, very simple. There's only one way to fix a financial mess. You must increase your income or decrease your outgo. That's it. So you're going to have to do one of those two things or both of those things. Spend less, make more. But I'll tell you something. Don't go at it so hard making more that you fall out of church and you get backslidden. Just so you know, you say, but I want to better my reputation. You have a reputation as a Christian also. And I'll tell you something. Probably I have lost more people through the years out of churches, good people, because they were sincerely trying to fix their financial messes than probably anything else. They get busy making money. And they're trying to pay their bills. And they're being honest. And they're trying. But before long, they're working so much that they're backslidden and out of church. And before long, they've changed their opinion about the things of God entirely. You say, it's hard for me, it would be hard for me to follow a budget because I'm already in a financial dilemma. Now, let me tell you something. I've helped a lot of people. I sit down with people and I say, okay, we're going to take all your bills. We're going to look at them. We're going to figure out what your income is. I'm going to figure out at what rate you're being taxed. I'm going to figure out how much money's going out. I want to know all the interest rates that you're paying on every loan, and we're going to figure all this out. Now, this isn't true 100% of the time, but most of the time, they are bringing in enough to pay their bills. They're just so disorganized, and they stop at McDonald's too much and buy too many $4 cups of coffee, and if we just reel it in, they can usually make it. Now, not all the time, but most of the time, it's there. They're just not organized to utilize their funds. Now, I would recommend this. You say, I'm in so much debt, I've got such a financial mess on my hands, I couldn't function by budget. Here's what I do. I would go ahead and set up a budget, set it on the sideline, make it your goal, come back over here and start bailing yourself out, get your bills caught up, the moment the income and the outgo are equal. You kick your budget right into gear. You don't have to have a budget that is perfect for income and outgo. You can have an emergency budget that's just your budget on how you're going to get yourself out of the financial dilemma you're in. I wish, God knows, I don't need anything else to do, but I will tell you this, if you want help, I'd be glad to sit down with you and talk to you some. Sometimes it's just having a second set of eyeballs take a look at something and help you. Say, well, I would be humiliated. So you know, I love the people in my church. Anything that ever said in my office is kept very confidential. I just like to help you. One of the things that I've done through the years is I've helped a lot of people understand finances and things. And I just thank God for the things that I have learned. And part of it is because in the ministry, you don't get paid a ton of money. You don't get rich at it. You have to figure out a way to make it. You've got to make sure that you don't have more going out than what you have coming in. You don't have any choice. So I would say that if you need help, get help. I'll tell you something that may help some of you. Why don't you write down every penny you spend and what you spend it on? Just write it down. At the end of the month, you're going to see a bunch of things on there that you didn't have to spend. People that fix bad debt are people that learn the difference between wants and needs. And too many times we spend money on things that we want and not on what we need. Hey, and can I tell you, America, you can have nice things. I'm for people having nice things. There's nothing wrong with having a nice car, nice clothes, and a nice house. Sure, have it. All you got to do is make sure that you're being faithful to God and that you're paying your bills on time. Go for it. But I would say this also to some of you that are a little younger. You may have to wait a while before you can have everything that mom and dad worked a lifetime to get. You know, I know young people that have nicer homes than their parents do, but they've got bigger messes financially too. There's some sacrifice that goes on early to make sure there's some stability later. But my discovery is this. A budget is an organized plan so that your income and your outgo are equal and are both organized. That's what a budget is. That will fix financial dilemma. And I'll tell you this also. If you do everything you can, God can come along and do a few things that you can't. And if you'll do what you're supposed to do, then you go to God and say, God, we're doing everything we can. God will say, I'll take over from here. But if you're not doing what you can, why would God be under any obligation to do for you what you will not do for yourself and could do for yourself? So, in the passage of Scripture that I read to you, one verse that I thought was particularly important is this. It says, be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herds. Telling us to understand what's coming in and what's going out. That is basically how you budget your finances.